But for now, let's turn our attention to the Eagles. Like I said, he covers the Eagles for NJ.com. Formerly covered the Jacksonville Jaguars, so you can call that spooky times a flat circle. We're glad to be joined now by Mike Kay. Mike, thanks for taking the time tonight.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about straight off the bat is that, you know, you're probably better equipped than anyone to talk about Nick Foles to the Jacksonville Jaguars because of your time covering both teams. What kind of fit do you see that being in Jacksonville?
Well, I think when you look at Nick, he's never been a guy who is going to take a team on his back and just move them down the field. He needs weapons around him, and the Jaguars really don't have that. Outside of the lack of weapons, though, the culture that they're trying to promote, the locker room that they're trying to cultivate, and the overall message that they are trying to send to the city, I think Nick Foles is absolutely perfect for it. When you look at him not getting franchise tagged, that makes him a little bit more appealing because you're not trading assets for him. You're also not probably, you know, losing leverage in a negotiation because he's got that $25 million tag. So not only are you retaining draft assets, but you're also retaining cap space. And so now you can build around him. The Jaguars are in a pretty rough cap situation, but they could easily cut like $40 million worth of salaries in one swift move in the next couple of days. So I think he's an appealing fit for them. From his point of view, I think it's more of, hey, this is my market.
So, Mike, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, too, was that because this was done so relatively quickly, or at least it's trending towards being completed, I just ask, you know, why wasn't a trade able to happen? Was it just the Jaguars reading Nick Foles' market and thinking, we don't want to be bidding against ourselves here and giving up something that we don't have to?
Well, I never thought Nick was going to have a massive market anyway. When you look at the, you know, criteria of a team that would try to add him, the Jaguars fit it because they have a defense that's built to win now. They have a coaching staff and a GM that are holding on to, you know, their jobs by their, you know, fingernails. And so they need to win now. There are not a lot of teams that are like that. You could argue Washington's like that. You could argue that the Giants are like that. But they also have other plans at the quarterback position. So, yeah, I think the Jaguars just decided, hey, we're not going to bid against ourselves. That'd be foolish to give Nick Foles not only $25 million, but a third, maybe trade a third or fourth round pick to the Eagles. I don't know if that's really smart business. And one thing I do know about Dave Caldwell is he is a very smart GM. He's missed on the quarterback position, but outside of that, he's put together a pretty smart plan for his team over the last 6 years, despite their, you know, shortcomings.
So speaking of quarterbacks potentially with shortcomings and smart plans, the big NFC East news is that the Broncos and Washington have agreed, it seems, to a trade where Case Keenum is going to be headed to the NFC East. What do you make of that move for Washington, understanding Alex Smith's injury, and what does that mean for the Eagles' chances here in their quarterback hierarchy within the division?
Well, I had heard at the combine that Washington was kind of looking around for veteran backup quarterbacks. You know, there was talk of Tannehill, there was talk of Bortles, there was talk of Keenum, but nothing concrete. Like, it was more of just rumor mill stuff. And, you know, I'm not surprised they traded for Keenum. It makes sense. The deal that they got, he's going to cost absolutely nothing. He's going to cost like a low-end backup, veteran backup. So I think to have him compete with Colt McCoy, who everybody knows Jay Gruden is enamored with him for whatever reason, it makes somewhat sense, especially because they traded him basically for nothing. It's like the equivalent of trading the rights to a guy in Germany that you've had on your books in the NBA for like 10 years. So, I think that it doesn't make them better, but it makes logical sense from their standpoint is they didn't want to invest more in the quarterback position because Alex Smith has all those guarantees and they're going to be paying him quite a bit of money this year. I think it doesn't really affect the Eagles at all. I think when you look at this division, it's Dallas and it's Philly, or it's Philly and Dallas, and that's pretty much it.
We're joined by Mike Kay on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mike, I know that you've been carefully studying everything that's going on at the Combine as well. One of the biggest storylines that's emerged is this Kyler Murray, will they, won't they? There's the Charlie Casserly report that he's not doing very well in interviews. There's another report that says that almost everybody believes that he's the consensus number one pick. Where's the truth lie as far as you're able to see it?
Well, that was the talk of the combine, that Kyler was going to go number one to the Cardinals. I don't think anyone in Indianapolis didn't hear that at one point or another. I've only heard positive things about him, but I have also haven't really talked to anybody who was in meetings with him. That said, you know, those meetings are like 15 minutes. They're not very succinct. There's a lot going on. I mean, for me, it's like, how do you judge the character of a person in 15 minutes? Now, there are scouts that have been, you know, and they've had their eyes on him throughout the entire draft process, throughout, you know, his last season in Oklahoma. They have a better understanding than anybody in that meeting. And so for me, where you haven't seen all those reports prior to these interviews, I just kind of find that kind of weird, because I did hear about other players who were at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine who interviewed really poorly. But when you don't hear it constantly, it just kind of seems like it's kind of, as Bill Brandt said, fabricated.
Mike Kay joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, covers the Eagles for NJ.com. Mike, are there any prospects at the Combine that the Eagles seem to be paying closer attention to, or anybody that might have worked their way onto the Birds' radar where they weren't before?
They were very, very, very interested in running backs. They interviewed David Montgomery from Iowa State, Miles Saunders from Penn State, Darrell Henderson from Memphis. I mean, they were very busy at the running back position. I think they interviewed over 10 running backs. Alex Barnes, another guy at Kansas State. They're going to target a running back on day two. I think it's a foregone conclusion if they do not draft Alabama running back Josh Jacobs in the first round. It just seems like they're just revving up to really invest in the running back position because they know they need to. They're still going to have a rotation, but I still think that they're going to invest pretty heavily in the running back position in the draft because you need to get some youth there. You need to get a guy that can partner with Carson Wentz for several years. You also need some speed to be added to that group.
Mike, the other story of the Combine was DK Metcalf and all of his workouts and what he measured in on. Were you able to give him any fitness tips to lose that last 0.9 to get down to the even 1% body fat?
I was not, and if you actually want to search Twitter, I ran the 40 and ran the 3-cone drill a year ago, and my 40 was epically bad, like to the point where you'd be like, I didn't even know numbers went that high in the 40. So I was not in a place to give him any advice because I literally have a dad bod. So I left that for the trainers.
Now, Mike, one of the other things is that people who cover the Combine say year in and year out, it's just lying season. You hear nonsense all the time. Can you share anything that you've heard where you think that doesn't make any sense or that doesn't add up based on everything that we've seen?
I'd have to really think about that. I mean, the Josh Rosen trade rumors are interesting just because a lot of people have pegged that as a third-round pick. I think the Cardinals would get a little bit more. I also saw him getting, there was also rumors that Antonio Brown could be coming here, Le'Veon Bell could be coming here. I would kind of hold off on that stuff. You heard the Browns trade rumors. The Browns were kind of trying to wheel and deal. I think those are a little bit overzealous. Odell Beckham was certainly talked about at the Combine, but anything concrete that came out of there probably isn't full of the truth. And also, I think, you know, it was a pretty quiet combine, just based on my perception. It wasn't like there was a lot of stuff going on. You know, the Olivier Vernon stuff that came out, I thought was pretty interesting. They did try to shop him, but apparently they're going to hold on to him. I think that's something very intriguing to watch.
Mike, last one before we let you go. The big news, or I guess if you can call your restructurings, re-signings, and cap space clearing big, that's what the Eagles have been up to. It seems that they've been clearing cap space, and you're mentioning that it seems that they'll be targeting a running back on day two. What seems to be the plan or the vision for Howie Roseman and company in terms of clearing up all that room?
Well, I think they want to get a dynamic player on offense. Whether it's a running back or a wide receiver, they need to surround Carson Wentz with talent. That's just the bottom line. You know, Carson's a guy who has been able to make a lot of something without, you know, anything really substantial as he did as a rookie. He's gotten a lot of mileage out of Alshon Jeffery. They've done well with Nelson Agholor, but they really need an upgrade on the outside opposite Jeffery. And they might be in the market to move on from Nelson Agholor because of that contract, a $9.4 million salary this year. So they're going to attempt to adjust the wide receiver position. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought in a veteran running back like Latavius Murray or a Mark Ingram. They will definitely address the linebacker position. There is going to be competition with Jordan Hicks likely to leave town. And then I think you look at the defensive end market and see if you can get a mid-tier guy like an Alex Okafor or a Benson Mayoa. Those guys are some of the dudes I would look at.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for joining us. You can catch Mike on Twitter. Am I getting this right? At Mike_E_K with an E at the end.
Yeah, it's the worst Twitter handle ever.
Did you have a case of mistaken identity, or were you battling over handles, or how did something like this happen?
Yeah, I think I picked it in like 2010, and it was before I became a professional writer, and so I didn't really put a lot of thought into it, and it just kind of stuck once I got that check mark, and you can't change the handle once you get the check mark, so I was kind of stuck with it.
Well, the content's worth it. People will go out and search you out. Thank you so much for a couple minutes, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Sure, thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is, Mike Kay of NJ.com, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.